name is Barbara Cope.
My name is Ken Cope.
All right. Wonderful to be able to meet with you here in... Now it's sunny England today, right now. So that's good. Barbara, why don't I start with you? I'm interested to know when you met Schaefer and whether or not you were Christian or not a Christian and how that initial contact influenced you.
Okay, when I came to Libri, I was not a Christian. I didn't know any Christians in any kind of deep way. I had a friend in high school who grew up in a Christian family who had told me about Libri, leaving out most of the Christian side of it. And I was just at a place in life where I needed to make a step out of where I was. And so I told her I'd come with her. And we were both only 18. So when I got to Libri, I was probably a lot younger than a lot of the students there. And I certainly didn't have a clue what it was about in any way. But I responded to the Schaefers and the sense of community. That was a huge thing for me. And the teaching side of it was much more gradual. So I think I was responding to the humanness of being in this community in the, well, one of the most beautiful places in the world. And meeting people who are Christians and gradually finding out what that meant. I was very far away from that place at that time and continued to be so the whole time I was a student there.
So for you, the initial thing was the Schaefers themselves, their sense of community, how they interacted with you.
Yeah, it wasn't just them. It was also all the other workers
there. Right.
And obviously those were people that they had pretty much brought along to be workers there. So there are a number of people, Daryl and Marilyn Miller, Dick and Marty Kies. Birdie was very pivotal to me with a one-on-one doing Bible studies with me. And so that sense of people being interested, it didn't matter what your background was. It didn't matter that you were Christian or not. I mean, it did matter in the end, but it didn't matter in how you were treated or how you were looked after. I felt very looked after there.
Okay. Your first encounter with Schaefer, Libri, were you a Christian, not a Christian?
Probably best to go back to say that I grew up in a Christian family.
Mm-hmm.
They were a Sawishnami family. Very involved, all of life for me, for the first 15 years of my life, revolved around it. Music and so many meetings, too many meetings. But by the time I got to the age of 15, I realised that I didn't want to continue that. That was partly influenced by my elder brother, who had come to a similar conclusion. But that at that point, I went off and got involved with the Baptist Church, which had a healthy teenage population. And that was good. And I started attending baptismal classes, which was a new thing. And we covered ground that I thought I knew. And after some weeks, the pastor said to us, go away and think about it. Do you want to be baptized? So I thought, well, I'm sure I do, but I'll just think it all through. And when I looked at it, I realized there's no way I could stand in the pool. And as he would ask me, do you, Ken Cope, accept Jesus as your savior? I didn't have a clue what it meant. And that was a scary time for me. I remember feeling very frightened. But I had to not go forward with it. And that set me on a course of, on one hand, really searching, but also discovering my own rebellion and entering into a phase of rebellion. I went to art school, and at the age of 19 or 20, my brother handed me a copy of The God Who Is There, which I read very thoroughly, and wrote to LaBrie to ask if I could come. That was in 1970. And around Easter 1970, I was there for 3 weeks, and a very intensive time, a huge spiritual battle for me, really intense. And I'd say, I feel I became a Christian sometime in the months after that, but that was a turning point. And the turning point came about partly, it was being introduced to some basic, I suppose, theology that I had been missing. Mm-hmm. And I can elaborate on that if you mm-hmm. want. And it really, I'd say it in two words, creation mm-hmm. and the fall. Mm-hmm. I think I'd grown up in an environment where, in an atmosphere where it was regarded the first three chapters of Genesis was just a nonsense. Mm-hmm. And what I discovered was, mm-hmm. no, this is, everything is there. Because just the discovery that really God is the creator, and of what happened in the fall, I felt my eyes were opened. That had been missing, and ever since I'm just so grateful for that, because the idea of having a saviour, but without those two building blocks, it just does not make sense at all.
Yeah, I found the book on his Genesis, Schaefer's little book on Genesis, to be, for me as well, very eye-opening, because I saw Genesis as something we used in debating the evolutionist, as opposed to, and I'm not saying you couldn't use it for that, but I'm only saying that it was far much more than that set the stage for everything else we were going to talk about. In Christianity, so that's interesting that was a kind of key for you, the idea of the creation.
Yeah, well, for me, being a creative person.
Yes.
Well, painting, ceramics, music. Just seeing such an obviously designed universe, and yet so horrendously gone wrong. And suddenly it just so, well, actually this does make just huge sense.
So you were there for 3 weeks?
3 weeks, yeah.
And what happens after that for you?
I went back to art school for the summer term, and I'd actually moved into a bedsit on my own. I spent just a lot of time working through reading the Bible. I found his 25 basic Bible studies really helpful.
Yes.
Just as a way in to get an overall view of the Bible. I grew up very familiar with so many of the stories, and yet I felt I was really understanding things for the first time in a context. Mm. I didn't feel I was able to say, yeah, I'm a Christian now, until a certain point where I did see, finally I could answer that question, do you accept Christ as your saviour? It did make sense, and yes, I could say. Mm. I could say yes. And that was sometime in that summer. Mm.
That summer after you'd spent the 3 weeks there. Mm-hmm. And you were reading your Bible and thinking about these.
And yeah, I mean, really, that whole time, I felt a breakthrough had come in that time at LaBrie, as far as saying, I had this sense of saying yes to God, and that had happened. And it's just the understanding sort of is going on now for me still, which was it for 40 years later, 45, 46 years later. But
so then what happens after that? I mean, you finish art school?
Yeah.
And what happens?
For me?
Yes.
I came here. I had a year, I taught for a year. Okay. And I came and I had a pottery just 100 yards from where we're sitting now.
Oh.
For 13 years. What is now the chapel was my pottery. They very graciously let me have the use of an outbuilding, which I rebuilt. It was a derelict building, and I built it up, built a kiln there. And for 13 years, I worked as a potter with a wood-fired kiln. And at that time in England, there were lots, this is going back to the early 70s, there were lots of redundant little Methodist chapels all over the country, which were being bought up by potters for next to nothing and being turned into potteries. This is the first one where the pottery was turned into a chapel. It's now a chapel.
Yes.
So, Barbara, for you, what you hear at Le Brie was quite foreign to you when you first get there?
Oh, yes. And hearing people pray out loud, I think that was quite striking, and praying for each other. So that was new.
So you're there, I'm sorry, you said in 69?
69, yeah.
69. So Le Brie's only been going on for, 14 years? It starts in 55. Mm. So are there a lot of students there at that time or not?
Yes, a lot. And there are a lot of people who were probably a little bit like me, that it appeared a very random choice, or people had heard about Le Brie and, you know, hitchhiked from England to come there because they heard something about it or read a book by Schaefer. And so it was, I would say the majority of people were not Christians. Most people were searching, definitely. It's that time of real, what is the meaning of life?
Yeah.
I feel that's...
So did you didn't really go with questions?
I think I didn't go to Le Brie to get questions answered, but I was definitely searching for meaning in life, definitely. And I don't know, I suppose I didn't, I when I was there, I stayed there for, I was a student there for three months, but then, which was a normal period of time people stayed, but they asked me to stay on as a helper, which I didn't do. I decided to go back home, and not home, but in the area. Right. And that was, I think, when I look back, I think it was a mistake, but anyways, I had to go through that. And I ended up, I think about 9 months later, going back as a helper for about a year.
So you became a Christian in that three? So they asked you to be
They even asked me to come back even though I was not a Christian.
And they even asked you to be a helper?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they saw me as needy.
So this was an opportunity for them to keep you there, maybe, and to
I didn't see it as that quite. I think the people, the workers there who knew me, felt I would really benefit from being there, and I couldn't have afforded to be a student all that time, and so yes, I think it was more that they saw my need.
Right. It wasn't, I wouldn't mean to say it was a manipulation or a selfish thing.
No, it wasn't
thing.
In any way. Right. No, it wasn't in any way. Yeah.
And they also saw what an amazingly helpful person.
Excuse me?
They saw what an very, very helpful person. I'm serious.
Yes, sure. So, you're there working for a living for 3 months. Are the Schaefers there most of that time?
Yeah, I think I was just trying to think about that because this was around the time when they just started going over to the States and doing lots of speaking.
Yes.
They were definitely there when I first arrived. And I think when I came back, they were gone, but they came back. And part of one of my work as a helper was to look after Frances Schaefer's mother. Oh. So she was living there. In their flat at Malaz, and she needed a lot of care. She couldn't, basically she went from bed to chair during the day, so she needed help with a lot of practical things like getting dressed and, you know, just someone who was with her could write letters for her and she would dictate them and help her with food. So I was up in their flat every day, except for days off.
And what did you see about the family?
They were interesting. Well, I mean, I was really, you know, I thought it was really lovely that she was with them.
Yes.
You know, considering, because I think not for all the elderly are treated with that kind of respect and dignity. You know, they were very eccentric in their own way. Mm-hmm. Very eccentric. And I think the thing I remember about Schaefer the most is that he treated every single person with such dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't matter. He was not a fame and fortune. He didn't reach out to the people who were the most intellectual. He'd spend time with anybody. And I think that's the thing I really respected about him. He would really greet everybody in the same way and treat everybody with dignity. It was quite striking.
So this is just about the time, 1965.
1969.
Right, but in 1965, he does the Wheaton Lectures at Wheaton College. And that's what opened Schaefer's traveling ministry so much. Nobody really knew much about Schaefer, not in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within the Presbyterian community, they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the average evangelical in America did not have any idea of Schaefer. And when they did, they weren't extremely encouraged by what they saw.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not at first well received. So 69, 68, the book comes out that you read, The God Who Is There. So all these things are kind of happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very fertile time in the Schaefer's life. And you're actually there during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you then come back here and I'm assuming you get married at some point?
Yeah.
We had
1976.
We weren't married then.
Okay. But when you come back here, you're married when you come back to do the pottery work, is that correct?
You had started the pottery.
Okay. And how did you, I mean, that's interesting. Did the Schaefer's teaching encourage you to do that sort of thing? Or did you just do it because that was what you loved to do and that was your training and you didn't think about the Christian side of things at all?
So I'm not quite sure what you're asking.
Well, what I'm wondering is, did Schaefer's teaching give you any encouragement to actually do something with your
absolutely.
Creative.
Totally.
So tell me something about that.
Well, that's one of the key, one of the wonderful things about what Schaefer stood for and what the church we've been part of has stood for. Something that is often referred to as the Lordship of Christ over the whole of life.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer another term for it. I'm not sure what it is now, but just the idea that God isn't just interested in people being saved Schumacher said Jesus didn't come to make people spiritual or to bring a spiritual dimension. He came to make people completely human. The idea that God is interested in everything goes back to God being the creator. Everything matters, and creativity, which was my passion, whether it's painting or music or something, it doesn't just have to be music, doesn't have to be just Christian songs.
Yes.
And pottery doesn't have to be pots with a Bible verse written on
right,
which are usually pretty dire.
Yeah.
And paintings don't have to be inverted commas spiritual paintings.
Yes.
The idea that, and so definitely, yes, it was a huge influence.
Yeah, as Ruckmacher would say, that you didn't have to have halos on everybody you painted to make you Christian.
Absolutely.
So that's an important part of,
hugely,
I think, what Schaefer was doing. It was so different, I'm assuming quite different, from what you would have experienced in your early years.
Radically, yes.
Within the South. Not to be critical of that, but only that it was considerably different way of looking at Christianity. And,
yes.
And that Christianity is not something we add to our life. It is, in fact, our life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Well, I have huge respect for what William Booth stood for.
Yes.
Don't measure up, but it's just yes, what you said, completely.
Barbara, what stands out to you? I know that's kind of a punch question, mm-hmm. but I know it's, over the years it's hard, and I've just sensed this for so many people, but I've sensed it for myself. But I was talking to somebody and who had been greatly influenced by Schaefer and said, I think he was saying, oh, maybe 10 years ago, he thought he would read The God Who Is There again. Mm-hmm. And he said, what's so unusual about this? And he said, what he realized is that it wasn't unusual now because he did become a part of his life. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of difficult to think back and say, oh boy, what stuck out in my mind? But most of us have something. For me, it was reading The God Who Is There in 1979 when I read something to the effect that a Christian, you did not have to you didn't have to commit intellectual suicide to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that just, oh my. That was liberating to me, because as a high school lad, I was looking for answers and had studied the philosophers, which didn't have the answer. Wrote poetry, and that didn't have the answer. And so that stood out to me as being so important to me. But maybe, I'm not saying that would be for you, but...
Well, I mean, I think as far as ideas, and again, I didn't have... the background that a lot of the Christians who came to the Brie, and some of them were struggling with the questions, and for the first time they were able to ask the question. And I think that's a really important thing for the church now too, is to encourage everybody to keep asking questions, that it's right to ask questions, it's not wrong. Because I think there's some areas in Christianity where it's like, don't ask, just believe. Or just trust, and I think it's a really, really big thing. And I also think this whole, the Lordship of Christ, is very liberating, and it is such, it's about the bigger picture rather than Christianity being narrow and God being, vengeful, and, we're these small people, and He's just big, and we have to just accept everything. Whereas now I think, it's just so enriching to know, to read the Bible in the light of that God does care about every single part of your life. And I think I suppose those are the things that influenced me, but also the sense of community, I think, was really, really important for me. And for many others, it was just having a place where you were safe, where you the lovely meals, and also the some of the friends we have made and the relationships have lasted from that time at Le Brie, in 1969. It's quite amazing. And then you can be separated by continents, mm-hmm. and there's still this community, which is wonderful.
It's interesting that when Schaefer died, the announcement appeared in papers, I think I'm correct in saying, all over the world. Mm. I had a research assistant who just, today's pretty easy to do those things to find out. And I would say every one of them, that was the one thing that they spoke about. And I don't think they always spoke about it in correct terms. Mm. They would call it, a Christian commune. Mm. Well, I don't think it was that.
No, it wasn't.
But you got that notion that it was a Christian community. All of them. That was the one thing that would appear in all of the obituary columns. So, so for you, Ken, you look at 21st century, just because we're living in it, not because it's in, not because it's unique, but it's what we're living in. Do you think that that Schaefer would speak? Do you think that Schaefer's approach would speak, would work? I don't mean pragmatically. I mean that it would be effective in reaching the particularly the young people of our day.
I think I'd answer that by saying, go back to the book, The God Who Is There. Now, Barry Seagram, who was the pastor of the church we are a part of, he once gave a talk about Francis Schaefer, just honouring him and talking about his life. And he referred to how, as the basic thesis of the book, no absolutes, and how it filters down through through to the popular culture. And the point Barry made is, if Schaefer were here today, looking at where the culture is now, he would just say, "I told you so."
Yes.
And you look at it, and just recently, this the sexual confusion and the surge that's come through, just even in the last year, I see it in the kids at the school where I teach, the confusion, the insecurity, the loss of any norms, and it is actually scary. But I think I'm trying to say to you, his analysis, his understanding is just absolutely cutting edge. But the problem is in actually reaching this generation with that information. And going back to the idea that the gospel isn't just that Jesus came to rescue us, it's actually understanding what loads more before that. That God actually is there. I mean, that's just been thrown away by so many minds. And, does that answer your question?
Yes. Well, do you think that we could then, that the Schaefer's approach, getting to know the person, is still a valuable approach today?
Definitely. Absolutely. Vital.
Vital.
Like,
yes. And I think, because maybe it's just my philosophy coming out of me, but that I think that our day is not much different than Schaefer's day. That is ideology. Post-modernity, which is kind of going to go off the scene, but is very much like existentialism that Schaefer was dealing with. The one thing is, I think, is that in Schaefer's day, particularly during the 70s, late 60s, mid 70s, I think that particularly the young people were asking questions. They didn't have any answers, but they were asking questions. I don't sense young people today asking questions.
That's what I've heard from time to time over here, that I think even Schaefer said it when he's still alive, we now have to ask the questions for them.
There was a time in the 80s when I heard him say that.
Is that right?
There were so many students coming on, and it broke his heart to have to turn them away. And yet there came a time when there was no longer that intense longing to understand meaning and truth. And he said, we're having to ask the questions for you.
So Schaefer even saw that in the early 80s.
I think, I'm not sure of my timing.
Sure.
But I think the 80s. There was sort of a giving up. People have said the Woodstock generation, maybe that's a bit naff, but there was this sort of quest for something. Mm-hmm. And then but it's been said that Woodstock generation ended up far more materialistic than the society that they were rebelling against.
Absolutely.
And there's sort of a giving up and just going for personal peace and affluency.
He was very prophetic. I don't mean he was a prophet in that sense, But it was very prophetic. He had insight because, in my thinking, number one, he knew the scriptures. But the second, he understood the power of ideas and their consequences. So he could do intellectual history, and he saw trajectories. If you stay consistent with this idea, this is where you're going to end up. Now, it doesn't say you're necessarily going to, but if you stay consistent, that is where you're going to end up. And I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
My early Christian life was pretty much in the holiness movement. And not because I was in it, but because those are the books I read. Jesse Penn, Lewis DeFerm, Fromke, Watchman Nee, and people.
Salvation Army.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, I was grateful for that. I think today we might do well for another dose of some of that. But I think in one of the reasons we're trying to at least talk with people who knew the man. I fear so many are reading the books, not that many anymore, but they're just pulling out vocabulary. But I'm not sure they understand the man. And that's what we're getting as we're doing these interviews. What was it like to engage with Schaefer?
Well, can I say, when I went to Le Brie in 1970, he wasn't there.
Okay.
So what I was engaging with wasn't the man himself.
Yes.
But the ideas which were embedded in that community. I say that carefully. Yes. Not the commune, but
the community.
But there was an atmosphere more than that. This was what was being taught by Le Brie. And at that time, as far as I can see, that wasn't being proclaimed by the rest of the church. I think since then, I'm not an academic, but yes. I think others have said it can show that he has caused ripples, huge influence, so that other people are teaching his ideas.
But yes. Not necessarily, it seems like it's coming through, but not necessarily people are giving Schaefer the honor for those ideas. But I do think they are coming through.
I think they come through, so I don't disagree with that. I have a concern that they come through, but they don't seem to have the same power that they had with Schaefer. And my thinking is that maybe I'm wrong, but that there is not the same commitment to the scriptures that Schaefer had.
Perhaps it's not the same passion that he had for people. Because the reason he read all those books.
Yes.
I mean, I just wouldn't have the energy to read all those books. But just to try and understand where people were coming from so that he could reach them.
Yeah.
That's a huge commitment.
Yes.
Which I respect greatly.
Yes. Well, if you're going to say, and I'll ask each of you this question, what is it that you think we as evangelicals who have been touched by the ministry of Schaefer, whether it's directly or through his books, what is it you think that we learn from Schaefer that would help us in being faithful to Christ in our day?
I'm going to appear to be very rude to you.
Okay.
Because you just said to be touched by his ministry. That's too much like the religious speak of my childhood. Sorry if I'm saying
okay.
But
that's
I want to
right.
get to it. Because it's much deeper than that. It's much bigger than that. I have such respect for these fundamental, this big understanding that God is creator, God is the savior of the fallen, of a fallen world. It's just so huge and just so needs to be proclaimed that it's, I'm not being rude to you.
No, that's funny.
But it needs to be bigger than a touch.
Yes.
And I'm sure you didn't mean it like that.
Right. I can stand that corrected. I should use a better word. I would could say influenced, affected by his ministry.
Yeah.
And what do you think? What do you think? One thing that you would say is that we must learn from Schaefer.
To proclaim that big message.
The big message.
The big message, the whole message.
That's one of the things you said, yes, the worldview.
And Christianity is relational, yes. And I think, too, that there's a sense, actually, when you sit down with people and share ideas or, you're able to talk about some of life's bigger issues and also life's despairs.
Yes.
That actually, I can't imagine how I would have become a Christian if I hadn't been to La Brie. And that's not saying that God,
right,
that God brought me to La Brie. Right. I know that. And it took a long time for me because it wasn't until almost the time I left the second time that I did become a Christian. And it wasn't, like in a church building. Mm. It wasn't anything like that. And I think that's the whole thing about the relationships. And, the Schaefers, they did it together too. And so it's, it's very much the two of them. And then obviously their family and just the work of La Brie. Going through all these years and, meeting people who have come through La Brie. It's just a very unique, wonderful experience. It doesn't have to be for everybody, but it does give you a real sense of community. And I think it's also that sense that God is working in everyone's lives, that there's a reality that it's not just over there, that there's a reality to relationships, there's a reality that God is in every part of our lives and next to us through all the ups and downs.
Yes. Again, what Bupi said earlier about encouraging us to ask questions. For me, growing up in that mentality, don't ask questions, just believe. But more than that, I grew up in the Salvation Army. As I said, I have huge respect. But one of the things that I reacted against was constant pressure. I would even use the word manipulation in meetings to conjure up an atmosphere. Maybe it was a sort of attempt at pseudo-revival, whatever. But what as soon as I arrived in La Brie, I felt safe from all of that. I didn't feel anyone was putting any emotional pressure, or whatever you'd call it. They were just encouraging me, ask the questions, go with it, ask the questions. And I'm so grateful for that. Can I say one more thing about Schaefer that comes to me?
Yes.
About 5 years after I left art school, I met up with another, one of the guys I was at art school with, who was a Christian, and he asked me a question. He said, "Are you still into Schaefer?" And I was really upset about it, because I was never into Schaefer. I'm saying this as out of respect for him.
Yes.
Because he was never trying to get people to be into Schaefer in any shape or form.
No, absolutely.
He was
not
wanting people to look at the Bible and to ask the questions and answer their questions. I'm grateful. He's written things I don't agree with, and he would want that. He would want that. Even in his 25 basic Bible studies, I think, that's not right. I know that sounds horribly arrogant, but I say it with a desire to respect him the more.
Yes.
If I was saying I was into Schaefer, I'd be demeaning him. I'm grateful for what he pointed. It's what he was pointing to. As a servant of the Bible, as a servant of God, a servant of the truth. And that's what I want to do.
And this is one of the areas that I'm trying to be very careful about, because I don't want people to think that in all that we're trying to do is to promote a man. We're not trying to create an icon. We're not trying to create a movement, because that would be contrary, as I understood Schaefer. That would have been totally contrary. But to be able to talk about how lives were affected, how Schaefer approached this whole matter of proclaiming the Christian message, I think is still a very important, profound message to get out to not just the younger generation, and to revive an interest in reading his books and seeing the big picture, the worldview. I hear people talking about worldview all the time, but I think it's just because they've got the vocabulary now. Schaefer had worked through this. Now, surely he was influenced by some other people, but he worked through it from the scriptural point of view. And so he had a basis for what he was saying. We just pick off what he was saying and go off and repeat it. And I want people to see, no, you need to work down for these things for yourself in the text. And then that's what Schaefer did. Well, thank you for your time. I know you need to go, so I'm going to release you. But I do appreciate you coming by and doing this for me. I really appreciate it. Thank you.